نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الواري الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Anybody who says they have, including me, until you have the experience. Now you say, well, Father, I love you, I want to trust you. Thank you. But don't bet on it. Only on the things I confirmed for you. Now you may say, well, man, since 1970 you've been teaching us and predicting events and all that happens. So more than likely, the next thing you say is like, fine. That's your own conviction. I'm not going to tell you to believe in flying saucers if you haven't seen it. Who here has seen a flying saucer with their own eyes? See, some of us have. Some of y'all haven't. So we sound crazy. I think they're men, but they had no apparent sexual organs. With big heads. Some grayish or brownish in complexion, with large eyes and little slits. Some had five fingers, some had four. Some had three, some had like claws, which means there's some kind of a mutation or evolution or craftation or genetic experiment going on amongst them also. But millions of people all over the world, not just crazy people, scientists, doctors, reverends, policemen, what else? Military President Carter, our Georgia boy, confirmed he saw a UFO. And so did Reagan, and so did Kennedy, and so did Truman, and so did your boy Elvis Presley, and so did Jimi Hendrix, and so did Marvin Gaye. There's a whole book of all the stars that saw them. You listen to their music and cry with them and make love to them. But when they say, I believe in a UFO, oh, he raised it up. Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? Save the children. I love that. I think you know the boy crazy. What are the chances of people all over the world speaking a different language who've never come in contact with each other having the same experience? What is the chance? All these people got together and conspired? Why? Is the question. Why? What would be the reason? Why would a guy in Germany and a guy in Mexico that have the exact same story, pardon me, the exact same story? What? How? And Puerto Rico, Chupacabra. How? And all these people in Puerto Rico, everybody in Puerto Rico is crazy, right? All this villages who have no interest in the public or the media say, yeah, I saw one run by. A bloodsucker, they call. But y'all who haven't had the experience, look it up, call us crazy. We wonder why you haven't had the experience. Let me see them hands again. The ones who have had the experience, some type of UFO or phenomenon. doing that someday, you know. Quite a few of us have. And fighting it. Because when I was a little kid, and my sister's fighting today right now somewhere, she'll tell you, when I was a little kid, I used to spare for weeks. I got to see my back there. Is that true? What did y'all used to do? Tell the truth. Give up life to speak down when you beat the hell out of me. What would y'all do?
When you came back, you just made it.
Let me just say,
we didn't know what happened to him. We come back, we have, like, heavy nosebleeds and stuff like that. And he was, as a kid then, saying that he was disgusted. And we was like, yeah, right. And he was like, this is true. And he was a little kid not knowing anything about this. There was no TV, no media about abductions and stuff like that. It was good.
Don't tell them that. That's not our whole life. Him and Jesus are sitting on the couch and talking about it. It's real. And those of us who've had the real experiences and suffered the traumas of it all our lives, it ain't no joke to us. Y'all people have nothing to say, why would somebody abduct me? They do two things. They abduct and they're abducted. these women and they took me on a ship and they saw I was so attractive that they wanted to have my baby, so they did it to me. Right? Then there's other people say they took me up there, they experimented on me, they were sticking tubes in my head and stuff, and I don't know what happened after that. A lot of people say they sat down and told me I'm special and they're going to take me off to heaven with them. What are some of the other ones? Anybody got any of them?
Yeah. They go tell your world that they messed them up.
They said to inform the world
right.
That you human beings are messing up and you better turn around and change things before it's too late. Right?
Yeah.
What else? Anybody else?
People come back with metallic oxygen on
the show.
Yeah.
People come back with metallic like oxygen all over
there. I have one of those. Look
at here. Tractor.
That's where the blood came from. Huh?
Show us signs of the future.
They sometimes project a screen for you to see like they do me. And I can foresee things going to come in hundreds of years. That's what I'm telling y'all. And then they come back. And then y'all still say, it's crazy. Who else? Do you know how many of them are walking on the planet Earth as human beings?
Jeez.
Passing themselves off as humans? Mixing into the society of man? Not only good ones. They want to use humans for food, some of them. Don't feel bad. Chickens feel that way about you. You just another part of the chain of life. You should have to see the of coming let go. How do you goats feel? You got them locked in your yard inside a gate. Raise them to kill them, to cut them, to eat them. And then when a couple of y'all get abducted and some extra stretches put you somewhere and raise y'all to cut you, to eat you, maybe they don't cover you a barbecue. They might have some other term they use. You feel like that ain't right. Almost everybody wants to tell yourself the same thing. It ain't right. You just can't do that to people. Is that what they say? That's not right. They just came up, that woman took me out and just did things to me. Some people like this. Some people, I hate it. Everyone waits for the end of the every night. But it is happening. And then don't let anybody fool you into thinking because you haven't been abducted yet that it's not happening. It is happening. Yes.
Brother, I have a question. What is more like advice? But 3 weeks ago, I was experienced a ringing in my ears. I get them frequently, but this one was like intense. And now I can't hear or like pressure is in my left ear. I was wondering, has anyone come to you?
All the time. You have a hole in your ear?
Yes.
Open them or what?
One on the right.
On the right ear? Okay, go ahead.
It's like I'm afraid. Cause
don't be afraid.
I don't want to go to the doctor.
Don't be afraid. The doctor can't tell you nothing. That ring in your ear is alignment. Okay. People with holes in their ears, over here, some have one, some have two.
those are people that are going, I can't think of anything else other than the word counselor. When the elders come, when God comes, right, and the voice of God is spoken, it's going to be in sound, not in language. And these people who are being aligned are going to be the ones to tell people where to go. So those are chosen people, and they will be sent to hear voices in their head. Now, some people hear voices in their head now and end up in the nut house. But the reality of that is that it's a fact that people can hear voices in their head. You understand my point? The fact that doctors will put people in the hospital and put them on certain types of medication because doctors have come to the conclusion that yes, certain people do hear voices in their head. Wait, Bon?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And have went out and killed people from the voice and said, go kill somebody. Say again? And they'll blame it on Tupac. There you go. Remember that, all right? Here, this is the reality. Go ahead.
There's other entities that come in. And they camouflage into human beings. Right?
They're people. No, no. They're beings that are descending to earth. Like the terrestrial, disagreeables. Right? In the form of human beings. Not descending in human beings. They won't come into and take our bodies. They're not walking. They are actually people that are here on earth like heads of record companies. Heads of the movies. Controlling the lives of many people. I'm not going to say Michael Jackson, but everybody wants me to say Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is a confused name. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, kind of neat to us. Just suppose that you can see these beings that are camouflaging themselves. What is happening to you?
They're not camouflaging themselves, but they're walking around every day with you. I can point out some of them. The guy comes on stuff all the time. He teaches all the stars about how to make money and all that. Oh, you can see he's a Venerian.
Yeah.
He's almost 7 feet tall. Oh, he's a so many of them out there now, and they are controlling the lives. Elron Hubbard. Yeah, control. Dianetics, these are organizations, the Scientology movement. These are groups of extraterrestrials from the Pleiadians or Aldebaran or Ashton Command that's incarnated here and are scaring people down a certain direction. And they become extremely numb. Now, when religion expires, an extraterrestrial came in, and there was a flood of UFOs, abductions, sightings, etc. They had a first encounter, second encounter, third encounter, they started to put numbers in there. Everything got long and longer. The third encounter. What they had to do, they realized that people, intelligent people, would come back to the institution, named the churches and the mosques, and start having questions about UFOs. And they wanted to sustain their belief in a rapture, that some God or God are coming to kick them the hell out of here with the self-destruct. So the first thing they did is the only substantiated or confirmed UFO sighting they say comes out of Switzerland. They said God in fire. One arm. Right? Who's a farmer way out on the hills of nowhere to have the pictures of flying saucers. They already caught the virus. And they're verified, oh, these people cannot prove these are wrong. And while all you people are going, okay, and they're real time focused, there's another chapter to what they had. And what happened, Myers? Billy Myers? Well, what happened is, one day I was out in the field, and I saw a crowd, I ran back down my camp, and I set up and I started taking pictures. Lo and behold, this crowd landed not far from me. So as I was putting this man, I walked towards the crowd, and out stepped this tall, beautiful woman, North, blonde hair, blue eyes. She was the most beautiful woman I ever saw, he said. I knew right away she was from another planet. Even has a name, I forgot what he called her. You understand what I'm saying, though? And then the next visit, her and two guys came out. Two men stepped out. They were tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. They were annoyed. And they told her that the planet is about to destroy itself. And that we are me on the ground and took me to another star system where I saw all these people look alike. How did they come up? And they had their peace and harmony on a beautiful day. And he said, this is how we're supposed to live. And I have to go back, you have to go back and teach that man. You know what I'm saying? And Billy Myers comes back and with all these little pictures he finds out that NASA looked at him and said, we can't prove they're wrong. I said, I'm watching these on the screen, and he said, they go interdimensionally and out. That's what he showed them. You can tell me all sorts of things. In and out. In my mind, in my knowledge, says, I see aerodynamics there. Because when I see a flying saucer, you know what they call a flying saucer. There it is now. Okay, so that's good. What they call it? What? We know they are. What they call a flying saucer is actually two forces put together that are shaped in a way that makes it possible for them to stick to our atmosphere without any resistance. No G-force. Because a flat object, as I can explain to you, moving through our atmosphere at a certain speed is met with G-force. Wings and bodies and streamlined cars because they are able to move to our atmosphere, right, aerodynamically. In order not to be hindered by the particles, we call air, they can stifle forward motion. Correct? So now these craft came from another dimension. Why the hell are they aerodynamic? Why are they made to fly on Earth? Why are they swinging back and forth like this? When they're made to stick on water or cloud, they're not aerodynamic. They're made right here. Flow right here. Manufactured out of Area 51. Hitler never had clouds for years. The Germans left there and went to, Brazil and Argentina and made connections with America. And that's when Ali Norton and them was happy with selling crap right in Argentina. And they'll tell you Argentina, they know. They took the technology out of Einstein, all of them used to meet. Tesla, Einstein, Paul Newman. They had crap. They were flying crap. These are things flying around. Why? What's the problem? The problem is they're all crap coming in and out. Some of the spacecraft, two of the spacecraft, they are not aerodynamic, and they ain't able to catch them because they're jumping dimensions. They only pop for a second out. So they come up with this Roswell thing. One of the flying saucers crashed. That makes it real. And NASA says, we can't prove that it didn't crash, but we won't say it did. That makes it believable. Then they come with a copy of a UFO. It says, looks real. Can't prove that it's not real. It has six fingers on it, though. Now to show you in the Bible where they got people that have six fingers. And six goes, they could be so anybody was possible. Maybe there's some kind of biblical preaching. Maybe that's the Bible. So it starts to open the doorway to let the biblical seat that in, because that's the best spell they got us under religion. And then when we started finding out about those possible beings coming from somewhere else, they got scared that we would give up their religious crap. We got very scared. We had to recreate religion inside the UFO phenomenon. They had to get a new Jesus, a new North image for us, a new savior. You follow? And thus they come up with this Billy Myers crap, drawing their blue-eyed daughter to come to savior. And you want to be in the belief in joining their organization. And it's nothing but a prototype or an overlay of the same Christian concept. Then they go back and say, well, Hitler, he was exposed to our values. And when they describe them, they say, tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, Nordic people. Act on command. Tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, Nordic people. And they're coming to save us. You follow what I'm saying? Here we are, back in the church. Back in the church with the white God.
Yes, I'm from a Raiders Helper Ball down in, South America. They're going to use to, set the earth on fire. Am I saying this correct? Are they going to hit the whole earth or just parts of it or what?
Just I don't really say to speed when reptilians and weeds are hybrid. A fisherman or a seaman.
You've been listening to Dr. Malachi Z. York classic recordings from one of the many schools of thought. The truth for all Muslims, Christians, Hebrews, Jews. The time is now. Make your way to the nearest All Eyes on Egypt bookstore near you.
Before. They went back to everything in UFOs and they showed you all the things that were not confirmed. all the things the government couldn't right away. Oh, he also said, yes, the Majestic 12 did exist. It was not a mythological organization. He said there was 6 civilians and 6 top security. Yes, he said also that the Project Blue Book does still continue. Yes, there was a Montauk project. Yes, there was a Philadelphia experiment. They're pulling the cover off this, but this is supposed to happen. Meanwhile, they knew that Osiris was going to come back from the Orion Star constellation, that he had joined the Anunnaki in Orion. And that's why your Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, as in Greek, the word for heaven is Orionos. And when Jesus said, my kingdom come to earth, he was speaking about crabs coming to earth in my Father's house, y'all, many mansions. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Not a state. You're going to a land. A place that, as the other brother was asking, a place that the devil visited humbly in the book of Job. The devil went to a place to talk to God along with other angels. The God obviously wasn't sitting on one throne, but somewhere in the book of Job, the devil and God have a fight, discourse about how they're going to mess up Job's life. Just to test his faith, something that God should have already known. He should have known if Job was going to fall or not if he died. So the devil was able to go to a place where God had knew for Allah, for Jesus' father, Abba, was. You hear me? And visit that place. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going. What? To a place where I am. Baby, I'm going to try to get y'all out of this mess and up there where my father dwells. Where? In the Orion itself. In heaven. Jesus didn't hide it. The translators hid it. When they put the word heaven. But you know where the word heaven comes from? Haven, where you dock a ship. Look it up in your dictionary. Where you dock a ship. It's right in the Bible. So the Greeks understood it. The Hebrew understood it, but King James didn't.
Yeah, King James didn't.
He gave the Bible and said this from its meaning. You hear me? So the ancient Egyptians knew that Osiris would return. How do you think the Horus was born? Do you really think that Isis ran around finding body parts?
No.
Hell, and then when she found his penis, she said, hey, and gave birth to Horus? No. She sought out his body parts. And she found his what? His DNA. And the chemistry of Egypt artificially what? And she gave birth to. And that's why it means rising. See?
With all the doctrine that's coming out, and all the different things that you're doing little by little, you know, you'll have an effect on the people in a big way. I'm saying, and you just got to be ready for it. Unfortunately, a lot of Nubians are not into computers like we are, and so they don't even know about the Hellbox. They don't even know, you don't know about the Hellbox, right? Comet. Right? A lot of you don't know about the Hellbox comet yet. That's why I got a copy of the tape so they can hear the Amorites tell them about a craft like light, like entity that seems like it's alive, yet not alive, that's 4 times the size of Earth that they just discovered, and NASA is confirming it, that it's there, next to a meteorite that came into existence 2 years ago called Hellbox. And it's on the tape, and they're called Hellbox. And we're actually talking about this new craft thing, and they tell you it's coming towards Earth, and it's intelligently controlled, and it's coming to get a group of people. And they say on the tape, that these group of people that they're coming to get are people that are involved in advanced studies. And no, there's no one said on the test and say they're out to teach people. Is there anybody around here yet? Oh, yeah, you'll pick it up, right? Dropping the car on the way back home. and listen to it. And the end of it, the guy says, in the beginning of it, in fact, he says, I'd like to thank Dr. So-and-so, something Malachi. That's not Mina, right? It's somebody who uses the name Malachi. Most of them don't pronounce the name Malachi. They pronounce the name Malachi. Right? So it's a slip of tongue. But when they say Malachi, that means they're letting us know where the source is, but they cannot deny. And we have we went into the computer and internet, and it showed us the comet. They had pictures of the comet in there, and it's good to know it's there. They noticed it's Nibiru. And they literally said on the tape, Zachariah's kitchen refers to this as Nibiru. Next came into us was, I tried to fast it as many people as I can. I don't know if you got the skulls. Well, what did it spell? The skull of the knuckles, the twice the chromium, twice the size. And right after that, about 2 days later, they sent us the skull of a pill, cone. Because everybody, when we said the cone was the real, people thought we were chopping off Saturday Night Live. Of course, they don't know that everything the Amorite does, he puts the intelligence in front of him so he won't believe it. But they got actual skulls. And we're getting more information coming constantly because now that people know through the internet that we're the source of this information, they feel free sending us stuff.
So beings, great stuff, beings for thousands of years ahead are coming back here trying to fix the genetic defect. These beings are what you are going to look like in the future with the way the science is moving. Namely, if the planet begins the ice melt and the planet floods and people have to go beneath the water for a day, they don't have exposed to the sun and the mountains start to die, if you stick your hand in the water or stay in top for a long time, when certain forces of the skin lift off the air, you're going to have little wrinkles in your hand when you stay in top too long because it's getting buoyancy when you're afloat. In other words, air pockets are going to be changed. That's why I heard it all. You keep your hand for long, the color will leave your hand. It's not like you put a band-aid on your hand and keep the band-aid on for long. The melanin is gone, you're going to smell rain like rain. If you stare at the sun too long, your eyes change. And you lose the brown or the hazel. And your eyes become one massive black, so your pupils die. You become one massive black thing. The beings that come here, that's how your eyes look. That's how far the future can come from. Back here, to try to warn you, bring you up to date to what's going on. They're called the graves. They're taking the weaker genes amongst you, the defective genes, the allowed, and experiment with them so they don't have to experiment on you. As I said many times, your grandfather was a bigger man than your great grandfather. Well, only four. His dad was doing the kid, you put his dad on and his mouth. You have a 100-year report. And he got to take care of you. And I always make fun of him. Say the thing, is the new generation of men? They were these bad guys, they were just little skinny legs. You can't want to pay on them, they got all kinds of, they got these old skinny legs, they got all kinds of, what's the point of looking at? Y'all, my God, my husband, when I was high, I was looking at human beings, trying to be on the skinny legs. Why are you looking at them when they got skinny legs? Well, your grandfather was like that. They wore 12s, 13 size shoes, 14s, 15s. But now, they had evolution within the last two generations, or four generations, or even up to a thousand, you will be down to 4 feet tall. People are smaller than those people here. Children's eyes being naked. You see it yourself, and right up.
and their clothing is getting larger. Yeah, I have a story tonight where I said he has a big ass head in line. You know? You know what I'm saying? We are all for better.
Let me tell you what all y'all niggas are delusionary. Y'all was in a He said he saw a crab land and a man stood out tall, dark, light-skinned man with white robe just looked at him, smiled, turned around, and got back in the craft, and it took off. Oh, he's lying. But the moment it becomes noise, it becomes believable. They even have moved their racism into the stars.
Everything I told you happened. Everything I told you to look for happened. This is not a place where people believe this crash. This is a place of people who saw the crash. That's why we gathered here. We're not people who have a doubt of whether or not there's some extraterrestrial involvement. Our doubt was how do we stay religious with the reality that there's extraterrestrial involvement and it's not mentioned in the books we say we believe in. That's where our problem came in. Our problem came into reality, faces, beliefs, and fictions. And as a devout Muslim my whole life, it was very difficult to flip open the Quran and scan and scan and scan and scan and don't see crafts. But I've seen crafts. Ain't no accident all across the country, all out the country. People see the same beings. Some little village in Switzerland that doesn't even have a radio station or a newspaper. And people are coming to town and saying, little 4 feet men with big eyes. And then over in Australia and in Saudi Arabia where it's a Kaaba and millions of Muslims go make Salah every year. Over there, people are seeing extraterrestrial crafts. Now down in Gulf Breeze, New Mexico, and then they push, this one place, Roswell, to take everybody's attention off the reality. Now they got everybody talking about Roswell and whether or not that's authentic. And what about the millions of sightings that are going on today? What about people that are being abducted and coming back and going under hypnosis and telling the same story, describing the same beings, saying they got the same treatment, they got scars on their bodies, probes taken out of their bodies, pictures of craft throughout Mexico. They actually sat back with home cameras. We had it on a film last weekend. And just thousands of people in Mexico just took pictures of metallic craft, stuff like this. Not lights zooming across the sky, but you could say, well, that could be this. Could be a meteorite. Could be this. Could be Venus. Actual craft. You understand? And then when you come back as a religious person with religious convictions to Christ, Muhammad, or whom or whatever, and you don't find it in your holy book, and if you go to your reverend or your preacher or your pastor or your imam or your Kohen and you ask them about it, they tell you you're crazy because you are a signaled out individual in your church who had the vision, who saw the craft. The majority of churches so spooked out or so caught up in it they won't admit it, that you look like a nut. And the preacher can turn around and say, well, that kid there is a little strange. He thinks he sees little green men. The concept of the little green men are stamped in your head by the media, by television, by cinemas, by the movies, as you call it here in America. So that when I say I saw a little man, they say, you're a little green man, right? And I can't continue my story without looking like I'm crazy. You follow? So we're the people who've had the real experiences. People that know something is getting ready to happen. We're the people that are psychic sensitive. We feel something ain't right in the air. Regardless of whether we were Christians, Rastafarians, Muslims, Jews, Catholics, whatever we were brainwashed into, we took the time to investigate our own feelings and set aside our beliefs.
Para que yo en paz yo, en paz por él. Thank you.
Respect for the scientific community. Let me operate on you. And she turns around and says, well, before I had a dream, there's a little man came and said something to me and said, never mind, we don't want to hear that story. We want to hear that you aborted some baby and nobody didn't even want to talk about it. That sounds for a suitable to our society. We want to hear it too. But what are the chances of something like that of the Trinity? What is the chance of all these people from all over the world speaking different languages having the same damn on dream, being surprised in the same little being? What is the chance, what is the possibility of that? But they want to tell you, whatever I said, they can't find it on the street. Where they pop up? Here comes the fanatical monotheistic believers, be they Christian Jews or Muslims, or they won't give them. And the best thing next to it, they say, hey, Brian, you see what people are there. So the devil's got flying forces now. The devil is no longer a little red man with horns like we saw in the high school box. The devil is now little brave people with big blue eyes. The ones that have children by human beings. That's the devil. That's what we need. This is supposed to be thousands of dollars, losing all everyone's on, with all the pricks of this, all that power. Especially if you're taking on an operating table with some other little devils and operate on you or take semen from you and hold on a baby from you. That's the thing. But the Christian world needs that. Because along with the people losing trust in the fire department, the police department, and the medical field, all of them
المسيح والمحتي والمجدة لنا المرسلين
Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no partner. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the God. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, the true light, featuring Ex-Sayyid Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
Concerning the ancient Egyptians in terms of their religious wisdom. I was wondering how they came up with ideas such as the soul of a man being the life force, one supreme eternal life energy being.
Because the word Egypt today was not the original name. The word was Mizraim, which is the word Masr in Arabic. Mizraim, as you know, was one of the descendants of Noah from his son. Correct?
Yes.
And they brought the teachings that Noah had from before the ark over into Egypt. Nothing unusual. That's why the stock they say in ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead, we find story of creation and story of the flood. Yes. Read the Bible. You find out that Noah's descendants, Mizraim, his son Mizraim, Cush, and Ham migrated into Africa from Asia. And Mizraim is Egypt. That's what it's called. Egypt is Mizraim in Hebrew. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing unusual for them to have the doctrine. They've always had the doctrine of monotheism there. It was the influence of other cultures that made them sell out. The same way, let's take this for instance. Take the Ethiopians now, right? They're being converted from Coptic Christianity to Pentecostalism. Why? Because they're starving to death, and the Pentecostals come in there and feed them. And food converts people when they're hungry. They come in with this food and medicine, and they just convert whole countries and histories with thousands of years of culture into the new Pentecostal church and have them almost worshiping Jimmy Swagger. That's what they do. And that's what they did back in Egypt. The invasion of richer cultures when Egypt was going through a drought period and is going to be going through another drought in the next 5 years. When it was going through its drought period, it caught them with their guard down. Different invasions of Hittites and other tribes influenced their culture.
Okay, my next question is, you said that you got the Suhuf out of the one of the secret chambers at the bottom of the pyramid. Is that correct?
No, it was given to me by a man named Mahmoud who got it from the Pharaoh.
Yeah, I was incorrect. I'm sorry. You said the Suhuf was in the sacred chamber of the pyramid when Noah's flood took place?
Yeah.
So my question is, if that the Egyptians are the descendants of Noah, how were these pyramids built prior to the flood?
So the pyramids were built by extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Not by men. Men assisted them. And they have found mummified extraterrestrials. They found them. You know, they have them. It's not new. The British Museum has a lot of things that they don't even bring here. And the Canadian Museum has one also, by the way.
So what was the purpose of the extraterrestrials building these pyramids?
They were schools. The pyramids were schools of thought. They taught. The masters met there. And all those pyramids are linked around the world. They're magnetic centers. Each pyramid creates a magnetic force field to charge ships that pass over, which you all refer to as a flying saucer. We call Tropic Fire. Right? It's fly by, it's charged. That's the Bermuda Triangle is also a school. And it also has a permit of electricity to charge the ships. Why they always find UFOs hovering over the pyramids or over the Bermuda Triangle or over large places where there's a lot of electricity to charge themselves.
Did they teach men?
Yes, they taught men. They taught Nubians. Yeah, they taught them eye operations and brain operations and things that modern-day science are confessing existed in Egypt before they knew anything about it. They're saying, now we know that these Egyptians and these people in Africa was doing great surgeries and having tools to perform brain operations that we just got into this year. How'd they do it? Well, they was taught by extraterrestrials or far more advanced than mortals on Earth.
Were they taught religious wisdom also?
Religion in what respect? Because al-Islam is more than just a religion. It's a way of life.
Yes. In respect of the oneness of Allah?
That's emphasized. That point is always emphasized. The elders are called the Elohim,
They had that knowledge prior to Noah.
Trillions of years before Noah. This planet is a planet of babies compared to extraterrestrials from other galaxies.
No, I'm not talking about the extraterrestrials. I'm talking about the people that were taught by extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before Noah.
So there are actually two sources of the religious wisdom?
Oh, they're all the same. Because Noah was visited by extraterrestrials.
Okay. All right, I have a question on another subject concerning Canaan. Was Canaan born with a soul?
Yes, he was.
At what point did the white man lose their soul?
And Canaan was not a white man. Canaan was a black man. He was albino. He was albina, we call him.
Okay.
They got up into the mountains, and they was born their soul because if you read the book, you find out that some of the 200 fallen angels came into Canaan's 11 sons, not Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
When his wife and him, Salha, conceived, their sons were possessed of demons. It was at that point that they were sold.
Okay, thank you. My question is, if our purpose is to get back to the state where the Creator wants us, why are some brothers and sisters not being able to see the truth? Don't want to see it, don't want to hear it.
Because the devil did a real good job.
So the devil is the one who put the veil.
Yeah, the devil has done a good job of making them want to be what he is. And he's a failure. Every one of his societies always looks rich, but it always fails. Rome, Greece, Mesopotamia, and this society here is beginning to fall apart. The interior of it is falling apart now. Watch the news. So our people are afraid as men to stand up on our own and build our own nation. We're just afraid to. We've been living under the white man so long that we feel comfortable under his arm. We're afraid to stand up on our own and go for it. And we can do it.
It's the white man that put the veil on the eyes so they won't see or hear the
no,
truth.
Allah, because of Allah, Allah, Khulubiyam. Allah will seal anybody's heart who seeks disbelief. If you want to find a reason not to be a Muslim, Allah will help you not be a Muslim.
I see.
If you want to look for a reason, say, I'm going to find fault in Imam Isa, he'll help you find fault. I'm going to find fault in the community, he'll help you find fault. If you say, I want to find righteousness in a person, he'll help you find righteousness. You look at a person and say, I want to find good in that person, he'll help you find good. You look at that person and say, I want to find wrong, he'll help you find wrong. You can do it.
Assalamu alaikum. I have one question, and it's on a verse in a portion of the Quran where Allah commands a people to be as apes. Can you give a definition or an explanation of that?
This quote is talking to the children of Israel, and it says that because they violated the Sabbath, right, that they shall be as swine and apes. And that's because in ancient Israel, you remember Jesus, he used to cast demons into swine. You follow that? In ancient Israel, symbol of the ape and the swine was always a symbol of something possessed by a demonic thing. And he was telling the children of Israel, because they maliciously violated the Sabbath, they will be cast down to the level of swine and ape. And that was a curse that was placed on them, which manifested, that's like we were talking about earlier, in their curse of leprosy. See, people think the Sabbath started with Moses, and it didn't. The Sabbath is back in Genesis, when he says, and on the seventh day, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ceased from creation. He didn't stop and go to sleep like this. He sees from creation and that evolution or things evolute into place. And that day, that seventh day, is the 7,000th year of creation. We are only in the 6,000. When the 6,000 years of the devil's rule is up, he got his curse before that. And he is like the swine and he's like the ape. That is him.
In regards to that previous question about, the quote, Magna Man and all those different types of so-called prehistoric. Right. How do you explain the different artifacts, people that were found? Like, not people, but,
I don't bother to. See, the difference between me and most people is I don't bother to explain them because of the fact that I believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So I'm not looking for a reason to believe what some white boy in 18th century named Darwin said. I'm not interested in what he said because I already believe in the Quran. Now, I've written a book about it, and I've attacked the subject for those people who have a little bit of faith trying to strengthen their faith. Personally, I'm not the least concerned with their findings because I know the white man made the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, and inside the caves it looked real to me and you. I know he can make all kinds of things. He made some mummy movie, and we can forget while watching it that we're watching the movie. And you personally have never seen any of them personally, and if you did, you didn't have the knowledge because he didn't approve of it for you to be able to analyze them yourself. So all we have is his say-so, right? So the choice is between do we listen to what this white guy in the 18th century says or do we listen to the creator of the heaven and the earth? I prefer to listen to the creator of the heaven and the earth. So therefore, I don't even put myself in a position to analyze stones and rocks as our descendants because the Quran doesn't go that way. The Quran makes it clear that Allah created us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And when we start to probe, we're showing doubt in Allah. When we start saying, well, maybe it's true, then we have to confess we're not Muslims then. We're still not Muslims yet. Because when we become Muslims, we no longer question or doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any kind of way. And if he didn't say that, then it don't exist. He says he created man. So that's what it is. You follow? That's how I look at him, say. Every man has his own right to look at it his own way. I look at it as Allah says it in the Quran, and that's what it is. Because I don't doubt the Quran. And the moment I start to question it, then I'm no longer Muslim. But the Quran says don't doubt it.
Assalamu alaikum. I understand from reading some of Imam Isa's pamphlets that the Gospel of Barnabas was excluded from the Bible because it had too many truths in it, correct? And the other day I bought this book from one of the brothers, the Gospel of Barnabas. And I read in here that before the day of judgment, there's going to be 15 days where there's a sign for each day. And afterwards, like after he explained that what was going to happen, I came across a couple of things that was confusing to me because I don't know.
First, let me make it clear to you that that is not a copy of the real book of Barnabas. That is a poor translation, but a lot of it is they do have some facts in it. That which I can answer, I will. But we are taking it from the ancient Arabic and putting it in English slowly but surely. But there's so many books for one person to write. You see, it takes a lot of time. I have a lot of people working with me, but I still have to proofread and research every individual thing. So I may put reference on a subject. I started doing the book of Barnabas. I'm like four volumes out. Then other things, questions stirred my attention somewhere else because I tried to write books according to what y'all need to know.
Okay. So is it okay if I ask these other?
By all means. But if it's something that is not, you know, not translated properly, I'll just say it's not translated properly.
Okay. Also in this book, it says, if you don't mind me reading a little bit of it, Jesus, peace and blessings of Allah be upon, was telling his disciples that the faithful, it says right here, but the faithful shall have comfort because their torment shall have an end. And the disciples were afraid of hearing this and said, so then the faithful must go into hell. Then he went on to explain where that they would be in hell for a little while and that the messenger of Allah, which is Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he's going to ask Allah this. He's going to say, then shall his messenger speak to Allah and say, Lord, my creator, remember the promise made to me, thy servant, concerning them that have received my faith, that they shall not abide forevermore in hell. And Allah shall answer, ask what thou wilt, O my friend, for I will give thee all that thou askest. Now, Muhammad will say, then shall the messenger of Allah say, O Lord, they are of the faithful who have been in hell 72,000 years. Where, O Lord, is thy mercy? I pray thee, Lord, to freedom from those bitter punishments. Is that true also?
See, here's what you got to understand. When you read Genesis again of the Torah, you find out that you have sun, moon, and stars as signs of seasons and times, correct? That is in the earth plane. That has to deal with earth. When you step outside of the earth realm, then you're not governed by the same time laws. You understand? You say, a person says, I live 76 trillion years. The joke is, you don't know whether they mean 76 trillion years of your time. That's the first thing you say is 76 trillion years by my time.
Okay.
76 trillion years in an extraterrestrial world could be 30 years in your time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Because as you break the speed of light, time goes backwards. When you get outside of the Earth's atmosphere, the time system is totally different. The further you get away from your sun, when you go into other galaxies like the galaxy I come from where we have more than one sun, then our time system changes. Y'all have 1 hour per day, and we have 3 hours. Three simultaneously clocks going at the same time. Three sets of seasons going at the same time, depending on what galaxy you come from. Y'all always tend to base everything on yourself.
All right. Thank you. I have another question, if I can ask, right? Like, I remember in one of your books you were saying when in the scrolls, when Allah commanded the angels to come down and from the clay make man. Now, I remember reading that the clay, well, the dirt rather, the earth, like asked the angels to desist from this purpose. Now, what I want to know is that being that we're made from that dirt, are we in like incense or some kind of way crying out like he did in the beginning?
Very interesting point. You know why? Because I've been trying to tell people for years that nature is your worst enemy. Your body tries to get sick. You understand that? Your body tries, your body will pull you down the stairs if you're not careful. It will, your intellect will force you to step on the gas. Your soul yearns to be released from the prison of the bacteria of the body or the clay. And the clay is living cells of nature. That's what they speak about when they say that it spoke towards Allah. Every cell in your body is alive. Nature is alive. Grass is alive. Soil is alive. All these things live. And these things are bacteria that are plaguing your soul. What do you think you feed? You think you feed your spirit? You feed your body. And you will eat bad food knowing that it is bad for your stomach. You will drink sodas knowing that it is bad for your system. You will smoke ganja, smoke marijuana, take in drugs knowing that it can kill you. You will do these things because nature is man's worst enemy. Nature is not man's friend. Nature is constantly trying to return man to the earth. You understand?
Mm.
And that's where man makes a great mistake in thinking that nature's on his side. This is what makes you get up in a high place and that flash goes to your mind. I wonder how it would be to jump. But if I tried to push you off, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But the flash does come to your mind. You look around. You're driving your car. It's something that makes you say, a little bit faster. You get there a little quicker. And you start increasing in speed. You forget that you're driving a 2-ton piece of steel and glass. And what would happen if you get into an accident? This is nature trying to end your life.
So how do we fight against it?
The thing is, it is not a part of you. If you want to see the real part of you, tomorrow morning, when you're washing your face in a mirror, stop and stare for a little while, and you'll begin to get this feeling that the real you is looking from the inside out at the body. Talk to yourself, and you'll make that distinct separation between you and the fake you. The real you is the soul. The fake you is the flesh. Stand in front of that mirror and look at your eyes. Look at your nose. Look at your mouth. Look at your ears. Look at your skin. Look at the growth of your beard if you be a male. And stare and stare. And eventually the question will come to you, which one is the real me? The one looking out or the one looking out is looking at? When you make that distinction between that soul and that body, then realize that if you did a scale, you do more for your body than you do for your soul. You're feeding your body, dressing your body, plucking your eyebrows, combing your hair, parting your mustache. You stand in the mirror, brushing your teeth, grinning and checking and looking at little pieces of cabbage between your teeth. Everything is the body. What do you do for the soul? Someone comes along and says, pray 5 times a day. Wow, that's a whole lot of prayer. You know, eat 7-8 times a day. I mean, I watched a person try to, you know, the new bags of potato chips are made so you can't open them. You have to put it in your mouth and rip it with your teeth. You no longer can do it with your hand. You know that, right? Years ago, you take a bag of potato chips, you go rip and you open it up. Now they got this made out of this new kind of plastic that you can't even open. Correct? So you got to really fight to get to this bag with this. You got to, it really stirs the animal in you. All of it for the pleasures of yourself. But how much do you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person says, can you pray 5 times a day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I work. I'm on my way. I go to school. In school, you make time for lunch. At work, you make time for lunch. But when it comes down to the worship of Allah, all of a sudden, you don't have the time. People pray over their food, even. Oh, God, thank you for the food. And then take it and adulterate it with hot sauce and ketchup and peppers and all kind of stuff. First they thank you for it the way it is, and then they add all the poison to it. That's nature trying to destroy you. Believe it. Go ahead.
So I wanted to know, like, do people actually, talk to the devil inside their chest? Do people actually do that?
No, the devil talks to them through inspiration in their chest. The devil is the one that makes you put that frown on your face because he convinces you that that will protect you from people.
And we actually answer him back and stuff?
Well, you answer the devil in your actions by carrying out his desires.
So, in the
let me tell you a story about men. I'll show you how the devil works. It's a good time to do it because summer's coming. There's 3 men standing on a corner, they're talking. They're holding a conversation. All right? They're supposed to be righteous men. They're standing here talking about the Quran or anything. And down the block, there's coming a girl. She has on tight pants. These 3 men, watch their natures, how they change. Now, all of them see her coming from the right. One guy alters his position so he's facing her coming. And his conversation continues so he can look directly at her without pretending he's looking at her. You understand? That's one guy. The other guy, foresees it, alters the conversation about women so they all will look. The other guy waits for her to pass and says, just look at that filth. So he can turn around and look. You see, the devil, on the other hand, used all 3 of those men 3 different ways. They all answered the devil's call. One of them was direct. He just turned and looked at her and then made like he wasn't looking. The other guy got everybody to look. The other guy made it look like it was such a disgusting thing to look at that he had to point it out so that everybody would see it. That's how the devil works. The devil just puts up signs and we read them. You follow?
Yes.
That's his job. The devil is not going to make you do anything. He'll put up the sign and you'll read it and follow. That's why he's a master of commercials and advertisements. That's his thing.
So in like manner, do like the seraphim or the good angels, people as yourself and others, can they speak to us too when we relate back to them?
They
sometimes?
Do. And they're the ones that makes you see a white woman in distress and you step above your narrow-mindedness as a black ex-slave and say, I'm going to help her anyway because it's right to help her. Not because she's white and not because she's black, but because it's right to help somebody in distress as a Muslim, not because they're Christian, not because they're Jew, but because as Muslims, we are Abdullah. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have an obligation to all of his creatures. That's when angels are speaking to you. But when you say I'm a black Muslim and that's a white woman and I don't care if she suffers, then you're acting like the devil. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And many people who are righteous become the devil because they think they're so righteous until they start doing more to work for the devil than Allah. I'm so right and everybody's so wrong, I don't realize how wrong I really am. Many people deceive themselves into evil.
So does that mean that we help the...
We help anybody that's in distress as Muslims.
Oh. So do we help Shaitan, Treasury Prime, like keep the good angels from speaking to us every day? Do we actually help them fight them off or something? Or how come they don't speak to us more?
Because you don't open yourself to them more. Because you don't call on the seraphim until you're laying in a hospital bed. Or until you're in a prison cell. Or until things are going wrong in your love affair. Or someone in your family dies. Etc., etc. Then you turn and raise your hands to heaven and say, why me? You don't ever hunger when you have a full stomach. But man, when it comes to worshiping Allah and adoration, should always be hungry.
So if I hungered more at this present moment, I could actually feel those kind of things.
The more you open yourself up to them, the more they'll come to you. There's okay. angelic beings, extraterrestrials, waiting to make contact to guide you. They just ask you, all they ask you to do is stay on Sabil Allah. Stay on the path of Allah. Stay on the path of righteousness. That we don't want to do. We want to shuffle and dive and step on and off the path at random. We want to pick them up when we need them and drop them when we don't. It doesn't work like that. It says, he who the Spirit descends upon and resides with him forever, you know him by that. You see that? Mm-hmm. When the Spirit descends, they want to stay with you. Not like Christianity, where people get the Holy Spirit while they're on church and they go home and curse everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
No, in al-Islam, when a ruh descends upon a man, it is supposed to reside with him eternally. He's supposed to stay in righteousness. Got to learn to live Islam. And we have an example. In Rasulullah Muhammad, we have his sunnah to follow. The way he did things, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he practiced. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us he was the best of examples for us. He tells us to dress a certain way. He tells us to eat a certain way. He tells us to pray a certain amount of times in a certain way. If we want that guidance, we have to do that. The same thing like if you want to become a doctor, you got to pass certain, you got to study and pass certain things in school, right? If you don't do it, you won't become a doctor. You can walk around and call yourself a doctor. Like there's a lot of people walking around calling themselves Muslim. If you're not wearing a veil, you're not a Muslim. If you're not wearing the sunnah of Rasulullah, you don't have a beard, and if you're not doing the things that Muhammad did, I don't care who you are, what country you say you're from, you're not Muslim. You follow? You have to do what al-Islam calls for to be Muslim. If you don't, you're not Muslim. Look how bad you feel.
Assalamu alaikum. Reading a book, and it was referring to light, and it said that light is invisible, but how what we actually see is in terms of solid, liquid, and gases. And I was just wondering if you could explain something of that nature, because you were saying I wanted to taste that once you could see into the etheric realm of existence, that there's beings that's all around us, but we don't have, they have to incarnate for us because we're not able to incarnate them. And I was just wondering if this is why, because...
Just a minute, because you're overweighing yourself for no apparent reason whatsoever. Just turn the Holy Quran to the second chapter. The 255th verse, which is called Ayatul Kursi. And in it, it tells you that you can see light. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayu qayyum. Allah, nothing would exist, if it wasn't for him, the living power, the living strength. You understand? So the word exist means what?
To be.
That's right. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa. So life can be seen because life exists. And he separated this form of life from himself. So we're not talking about the type of life of Allah. We're talking about the life that Allah brought into existence. And if he brought it into existence, it is perceivable. Okay?
Assalamu alaikum. I would like to address this question to Al-Imam Isa. I would like to know, why is it essential that one must move into the Ansar Allah community in order before the year 2000?
Unfortunately, because the scripture says we have to, because living together with people who have not been groomed to live together is a very difficult task. But in our scriptures, in the books of Revelation, Chapter 11, it says, and it was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the haykal, which is the word temple, of Allah, which is what they have, of course, God. And the altar, and what's the next one?
And them that worship therein.
What's the last two words?
Therein.
You see that? Not outside. People say, well, the temple is in my heart. Yeah, but your heart is inside you, so that can't be saying that. As long as I'm a Muslim in my heart, that's what counts. It doesn't say that. It says, have yourself counted with those who are inside the temple. And what does it say about the court? The word court here in the language is dar. Dar means abode or place of dwelling, or this is a dar you're in. And what does it say next? But the court, which is the temple, those people who are outside of the temple, what about them?
Leave out.
And?
Measure it not.
Why?
For it is given unto the Gentiles.
And what did Jesus call the Gentiles? Snakes, vipers. He told his disciples, don't teach the Gentiles. Don't number them with the righteous. That's why. Not because we like living together, that's for sure. Because we have our hard times. But because the scripture tells us we have to.
Well, one of my questions is, why is black associated with the devil?
Because the white man, as you know, spent a lot of time doing stuff like this. What's a devil dog? A brown piece of cake. What's devil food cake? Chocolate cake. What's angel cake? White cake. Why? What color suits do the bad guys wear? Black. What color suits do the good guys wear? White. What color suits do the doctors wear? White. What color suits should they wear because they get dirty? Black. I mean, they spent a whole lot of time making black look bad, and that's all part of brainwashing of this Western world. And the first and most important thing is, watch this. Ready? Let's take a Chinaman, correct? The Chinese worship Buddha, right? What nationality is Buddha? Statue of the Buddha is what? Chinese, right? So the Chinese are worshiping a Chinaman. How about the Indians? Krishna. Was Krishna what? An Indian, right? The Indians are worshiping Indians. The Red Indians worship Red Indians. Eskimos are worshiping Eskimos. We're the only ones that worship a white person. Everybody else in the world worships somebody their own color. You understand that? That was a form of brainwashing. And if now, if Jesus is God and God is white, what are you in their doctrine as a people? See, if Jesus was white and he's God, then and we're black, what must we be? We must be the devil. This is subliminal brainwashing to suppress us as a people so we can't see our way to heaven. We can't even construct a mental tower of Babel to get back to the Father because we're God. We're the lowest of the low. We're nothing. We lived in Africa and we walked around naked and we ate people and one white guy named Tarzan came over and could beat all the animals and beat all the Africans in one fight. This is subliminal brainwashing. It must be uprooted. The white man perpetrated that phoniness about black being ugly and evil.
The question about, I guess about maybe about 2.5 months ago, someone asked the question about shaving. I know I shave because of this job I'm on, and I probably wouldn't have a job if I didn't shave.
Then it's wise to shave if you need your job to survive. Allah does not have compulsory indeed. If that's going to deprive you from supporting your family, you follow?
Yes.
Then shave. Allah knows that.
Okay, but the question is, why isn't a Muslim supposed to shave? And if from the answer I got last time, it's a razor is not to be placed upon your head or your face. Then,
wasn't from us. I don't know who gave you that answer. That ain't one of mine. I mean, because you shave. I use a razor when I shave and trim my beard. I don't know where they got that from.
Okay. That answers that question.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I trim my beard. I keep my beard because the scripture says, do not mow the corners of your head. It tells you to keep a trim from a beard. But it was in my cheek. Out of my cheek, I do shave out to hear this.
I used to be a student of Dr. Ben, and I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yes, and he'll be working in Cairo, and it's going to surprise a lot of people to find out that he's becoming a Muslim. They're going to be quite surprised that he's converting to Islam. He's going to be working at the University in Cairo, right?
You're talking about Dr. Ben Jokanan.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about, Dr. Ben Yohanan.
Yes, the same person.
He's getting ready to become a Muslim. That's a great thing.
Okay, in times gone by, in one of his lectures, he did say that Islam and Christianity was brought onto us by the sword and the gun, and I would like to have a better understanding of that.
Sure. If you ever read the fundamental histories of Islam, you'll find out that before Muhammad left in the year 622 to go over to Medina to set up the community, he was the one being beat up. They didn't spread Islam by a sword. They were being beat by the Meccan
and all the tribes that was in Arabia just because they were trying to teach the word of Allah. They wasn't fighting until after they got to the city of Medina and became a strong community, and then they wanted to come back to their own homes in Mecca, and that's when they started engaging in fights and battles with their own tribal members who were trying to suppress the propagation. Muslims didn't set out to war. See, here's a perfect example. The Crusade, where was it fought? Was it fought in Europe or was it fought in Jerusalem? It was fought in Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
So the Muslims were home, and these people came all the way from Europe over there to fight with them. Yet they say the Muslims spread their religion by the sword, yet the Christians left Europe with swords and came to Jerusalem to fight Salahuddin. The Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca trying to teach the religion of Abraham. The people started beating on them. They stoned them. They put a brick on top of Bilal, radiallahu anhu. You know, they persecuted them. They were pushed out of their houses, left their families, and moved to another city where they was welcome, lived there, then built a strong party of people and came back and took over Mecca. And then they said they spread it by their sword. They never talk about how they were getting beat up in the beginning, like me and you, right? You beat me up every day when I'm little. I leave and go and train myself and come back big, and I hit you back. Oh, he's violent. They forget that you were beating me up all the time. You caused me to go form an army, you see? And that's how they interpret Islam as being spread by the sword. Nobody is more violent than American Christians. Because people don't understand when America goes to a country like Vietnam, they're going in the name of Jesus Christ because they're trying to spread Jimmy Swagger over at the same time they're trying to take the country. Christianity is the most violent religion in the world. Everybody on the news that you see, even Romney and all of them people, are all Christians. Reverend Sharpton, all Christians. The guys trying to persecute them are all Christians. Christianity is a religion that spreads itself by the sword.
Something, if you look around in here, like in some Christian churches, if you listen to a preacher on the radio, says, bring all the sick, bring all the old people, the people in wheelchairs and walking with canes and on crutches and all that. And I know we have brothers and sisters out there who are in crutches, wheelchairs and all that. And I don't see any of the brothers that are out there spreading the word of Islam, approaching these people. I don't see any facilities in here for these people. What if these people should have a desire to join into the temple or become Islamic? What are the provisions
people
for them?
We have people who come in here. We had several families who brought children here who were considered crippled and couldn't walk. And after being here for a couple of months, were walking and playing. We don't put up that we're no healers because that's not what the mission is. The mission is to teach the word of the Most High, not to heal people. However, if people need healing, they can be healed. But I don't stand up as a faith healer, putting on hands, jumping around and all that kind of stuff. That's a big old act to get people's money. And I'm saying, I'm not into that. I'm into teaching people the truth about Allah, the oneness of Allah. That's it. And if they got faith, their faith will make them whole. Any man, he's going to do this. Jesus said, watch out for people coming like that. They're going to do so many signs and wonders that if it was possible, they'd even fool the elite. You got to be careful of them because it just doesn't work like that. Okay? And there is facilities there for people who need it.
My question is about the pictures that I see around and the pictures I see in your books, right? What is the significance of including the pictures with the word? That's a very good question. The pictures you see on the wall is real important because if we don't do this, he's going to write them off as white, the way he does all other black men's histories. He distorts the pictures and gradually alters the way they look. Next you know, they're real. Everybody's real light skin, the same way they did the Cleopatra movie and the Moses movie. And people now think Charlton Heston is Moses. And they think that Elizabeth Taylor is really what Cleopatra looked like. And so what I did is, and you happen to be a child that was smart enough to pull the pictures out. 99% of them are so afraid to touch the Bible, even in that state, that they'd never do that. And they start looking at those pictures as they read the Bible and really think that Jesus lived in the village and had a beard and looked like a hippie. They start getting that white Anglo-Saxon hippie image in their mind of what God looks like. And being there telling them that Jesus is God, you know what that means? They think they are. When they look in the mirror and they see a black face, they think that they see themselves as the opposite of white. So they teach you that white is opposite of black, then God is white, then what must black be? The devil. So what I've done is said, like me or not, I'm going to start putting images of black people in the books, regardless of what anybody says, so that the children that read it start to see Moses and Jesus and Abraham and Yusuf and all the people of the scriptures in their real shade and color.
The men on the wall are put there so people can remember these great men of our history. Because the white man would love for us to just knock Marcus Garvey and Noble Drew Ali and Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He'd like to lock them out of our history, but he makes sure me and you remember his history, because if you reached in your pocket and took out a dollar bill, you'd be looking at a part of his history. He made sure we got our face on George and Abraham and Jefferson all day. He makes sure of it. So I'm not going to be fool enough myself to say it's not important to me. I'm saying when I think a physical impression in the mind is important. What a person thinks things are oftentimes has a way of affecting the way they react to things. Mm-hmm. I mean, people become, see a white guy with a beard, and they start, little black kids say, there goes Jesus, mommy, walking to the village. And the mother has to say, no, that's a hippie. And that shouldn't be like that.
You know, it's interesting. It doesn't mean anything, but I agree with you in the sense that there was a certain hypnotic brainwashing that we've all been under as a result of his nonsense, all right?
Spell, yeah.
It's got to be sort of cleared, removed,
yep.
Right? So by whatever means it has to be removed, I'm all for that, all
good.
Right?
Okay.
The other thing is this. I have absolutely no complaints about Ansarullah, all right? From the first time I walked onto this block, all I felt was love from all of your people. When I come into the place, I only feel at home, all right? There's no other place that I've been between New York, Jersey, Connecticut, upstate New York, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, that I felt that way in, all right?
Thank you. That's a compliment.
Now, the other thing is that I want to come in, all right? I don't work for I do my own thing. It's more or less freelance, all right? There's a number of things that I do to take care of my responsibilities, all right? But I don't refer to it that way. I feel that he does certain things through me so that the things that I need are always there.
Assalamu alaikum. I have two questions. The first is concerning how we'll be judged on Judgment Day. My question is, what difference would there be between, say, a grandmother that died 40 years ago versus someone who is on the street, has seen some brothers with the books but never stopped, and also between a person who might come here to class or even live in the community? What difference would there be in their judgments?
A grandmother who was here 40 years ago before the truth hit the shores, right, will be judged by her own, her intentions in life, not by her scriptural law. 99% go to paradise automatically because they're going to be judged by how they believed as Christians, not how they believe now that the truth has come. You follow that?
Yes.
In that which they did, you can tell. If a person is a good Christian, because they didn't know Islam, then you know that if they had been Muslim, they would have been good Muslim.
So they're judged by their heart.
That's right. Now, a person who walks the street, sees righteousness, knows it's right, and doesn't accept it, is called in the Quran a kafiruna, one who conceals what they know to be true. The translators maliciously translate that as disbeliever. There's no such thing as a disbeliever in the Quran. It's kafirun. From the word kafir, to cover or conceal something. This person in the scripture is classified as like the devil. And the scriptures in Revelation says, will be cast into a lake of fire along with the devil, there to abide forever. So those people who see the truth and stall or maliciously turn away, they will be classified as devils, and their abode will be what you are calling hell. Hell is just a way of describing torment. And the torment one will receive is what they think they should get, because you are your judge. And as gross as you think hell is for what you've done, that's exactly what it'll be. Hell is like your nightmare, your worst nightmare. You create the nightmare you torture yourself while in the nightmare. So when you know right from wrong and do wrong, whatever you think hell will be, it'll be that and some more besides.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering, if someone just sees, say, a brother on the street, and they see him dressed in the white, but they don't know what it's all about. They're totally ignorant to anything that has anything to do with Islam. And they pass by. Would they be considered a kafir because they didn't take the time?
No, they couldn't be. They'd be judged by what they've done. Only once you know the truth, once you've opened the books and read it. That's why the first thing said to Rasulullah Muhammad was, Iqra, read.
read. First thing Jesus told in the books of Revelation is he sent this book and signified by his angel. And those who read this book, he says in the books of Revelation, you see that? And understand this book. So the thing is, you must read to understand. So those people who do not understand will not be judged as sinners. They'll be judged by their morals, by their own intentions in life.
Okay, so if I'm on the street or if there's someone that I know personally, I'd like to try to let them know a few things, maybe suggest to them to read, and they just don't want to get into it, what would happen at that point? I mean, is it just over at that point? They're just judged for whatever they...
No. You are... See, what happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all the people in the world, made it possible for you to be in the presence of that person. You understand?
Yes.
So that person is being warned, and they're going to be judged then. You are the warner. See, that's why it says in the Quran, Muhammad is a witness over you, and you are a witness over each other. Each one of us, once we know the truth, become a witness, a testifier, like Jesus, John said, I testify of Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about. So anybody you try to talk to, Allah sent you to them. And if they turn their back on you, they are classified Kafir. If they don't listen. But remember, you have to be in full sunnah, meaning full example of what righteousness is also. You can't walk up to them in a pantsuit and expect to convert them to a dress. You can't walk up to them with a cigarette in your mouth. You know, like parents tell children, they tell children, don't go in the bathroom and smoke. Smoking is bad for you. Honey, go over there and get my cigarettes off the table. You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? So your example has to be right. And when you approach them with the right example, when you're right, then they turn away, then they'll be judged. But if you approach them and you're not right fully and they turn away, you're the sinner because you brought to them a non-perfected way.
I see. Shukran.
It's a pleasure.
Peace. I got a household situation here. I'm living with a Christian woman, but I believe in the Holy Quran. And our kids, we have four kids, and she teaching them the Christianity lessons too. Being that I'm a Holy Quran believer and she a Christian believer, what will happen in the future with our relation?
The reality of that is, when you say I'm a Holy Quran believer, that doesn't say that you're a Muslim. It just says I'm a Holy Quran believer. And what Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do is to convert people mainly by our example. You follow that? The example that you have in that house as a good person, the tenets that you would introduce in that house, the laws on cleanliness, or not drinking or smoking cigarettes, or your good nature will be more influential. There is no difference between a Christian and a Muslim, really. There is no difference. A Christian is merely saying that God came down to earth as a man, and they call him Jesus. All right? Muslims are saying, no, he did not. He's always been in heaven. Now, when you eliminate those two arguments, okay, you come back to what do Christians believe? They believe that real Christians now, if you're good and good for people, you'll go to a place called heaven. Correct?
Right.
That good Christians, you shouldn't get drunk, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal. So any of the Christian morals that he is putting into the child is not going to hurt the child. You follow? And the belief of Jesus being Allah in flesh, as the child gets old enough, or the children old enough to understand what they're reading in English, they'll see right through it in the Bible themselves. It don't take much. That's why that room is full of people, because you people in that room are beginning to see that someone told you all a lie. You see? And you start to look at the Bible a different way and look at the meaning. Don't be all messed up about it and wrecking yourself emotionally about it. Be gentle about it. And you study the Bible. Study the Quran. Study all the scriptures. Respect her for what she believes. You follow what I'm saying? And in time, truth will prevail and false things perish. That's what will happen.
رَبَّنَا أَتْمِنْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَأَكْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ كَبِيرٍ. This is from the 56th of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse. And we also say the complete for us our life and forgive us. For surely you have the power over all things.
Free Nickel Radio!